Thank you for listening to the Ablaze Church Sermon Podcast. Our purpose at Ablaze is to love God, love others, follow Jesus, and tell others. If you are looking for a church home in the Tulsa area, we'd love to have you join us for worship on Saturdays at 6:30 p.m. or Sundays at 10:30 a.m. For more information, please visit our website at ablazechurch.org.
One life makes all the difference in our world, even today. God's grand story is about grace. Hey, did you hear about the new restaurant opening up in Broken Arrow? It's called Karma. Yeah. You go in, you sit down, there is no menu. You get what you deserve. That's the teaching of karma. You get what you deserve. Every religion on earth, outside of Christianity, of course, has karma as a foundation when it comes to salvation. You get what you deserve. But in Christianity, it's the opposite of karma. You get what you don't deserve. Forgiveness and grace cannot be earned. It cannot be purchased. You can't achieve it. Nobody deserves it. But yet, Jesus gives forgiveness and salvation as a gift of God. Now, I would like to just kind of take you back to the first century AD when Jesus walked on earth and how the religious culture, the religious leaders looked at Jesus. He was not righteous enough. He was not holy enough. He was not judgmental enough. He was not separatist enough. He was not intolerant enough. I mean, if the Pharisees and the scribes held up God's word and God's law higher than Jesus, he was not worthy, for he would break man's Sabbath laws. Jesus, if he knew better, and if he was the Messiah, or God as he claimed, would not touch a leper who got what he deserved because of his sin, or a casket and be defiled. This is how we know that he was not the Messiah, that he was not God as he claimed, because he was a friend of sinners. What decent rabbi would allow a prostitute to follow him, a tax collector to follow him, or some dumb fisherman to follow him? Oh, no. Oh, no. When it came to his miracles, they knew better. They knew that it could only come from Satan, who was also a friend of sinners, the best friend to sinners. Oh, yeah, his energy came right from hell itself, and they wanted to do away with him. And when Jesus hung on the cross, they all thought, now he is getting what he deserves. That was the first century AD. How about the 21st century AD? I want you to imagine with me. Jesus came now to our world in the 21st century. And he came for the same reason, to be the sacrifice for sin, to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, to shower his grace upon mankind, to speak about the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. I think today people in our culture would look at Jesus and say, he's too separatist. He's too righteous. He's too holy. He's too intolerant. And when it would come to his miracles, I think they would say, hocus pocus, because we have the wisdom of science, modern medicine. We know better. And I think today, just like in the first century, they would be mad at him in the first century because he forgave bad people. Today, people would be mad at Jesus because he condemns good people. And they'd want to get rid of him because his followers would be called Bible thumpers, religious fanatics, Jesus freaks. Oh, yeah. And they would get rid of him. And they would say, too, motivated by karma, he's getting what he deserves and his followers. And into this world, whether it's the first century or the 21st century, God comes with Jesus through word and sacrament. God comes and speaks of his grand story about grace. For the heart of the gospel is that Jesus came to those who are sick. Jesus came to those who cannot earn or afford salvation. You see, the heart of the gospel is grace. Jesus came for those who hungered and thirst after righteousness, not those who think they've already achieved it or deserve it. Jesus came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But to those who received him and believed in him, he gave the right to become children of God. You see, the heart of the gospel, the heart of grace, is that it is by grace, through faith, you are saved. It is faith that clings to that grace and stands firm on it. It is by grace, through faith, you are saved. This is a gift from God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Paul says it this way. This is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Jesus Christ came to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. You see, this is the heart of grace. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let's take a closer look at God's grand story in Jesus Christ in the story from Mark. Open up your Bibles to Mark 2:13. Let's take a closer look at grace. Jesus calls Levi. Now, right before this, Jesus is in a house and four friends bring a paralytic to the house. They open up the roof and lower him down. That's what friends are for. And when Jesus sees this man, you know what he says? Your sins are forgiven. Wow! It is the Pharisees, it is the scribes who get so mad. They say, who does this guy think he is? Only God can forgive sins. And they were correct. They knew scripture. Only God can forgive sins. And then Jesus appeals to their reason. And he proves that he was God, and he proves that he's the Messiah. He said, what's easier to say? Your sins are forgiven, or get up and walk. And they knew. And Jesus said, so you will know who I am. Get up and walk. And the guy gets up and walks. Wow. Well, that house was full, so they need more room for all the people coming. And so they go out to the sea. That's where the story picks up. Jesus went out again beside the sea, and all the crowds were coming to him, and he was teaching them. What was he teaching them? Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. He was teaching them about grace that cannot be earned, cannot be achieved. It's not because how beautiful you are, how wealthy you are, or as wise as you are. It's all because of the free gift of God for those who through divine means know that they're sick and they're a sinner. And as he passed by, he saw Levi. Now, this is where it gets really interesting. Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at a tax booth, and he said to him. Now, in first century AD, the Romans occupied Palestine. They were the foreign, you might say, invaders. And they taxed everything. They taxed your income. They taxed the temple. They taxed grain. They taxed cattle. They taxed everything, including the road you walked on. If you think Oklahoma invented the toll booth, you're wrong. It's in the Bible. Matthew was on the road. He was a toll booth operator. I want to tell you, a couple weeks ago, I went to Oklahoma City, and I was pulling a two-axle trailer, and I didn't have my pike pass, so I pulled over, went up to the guy, and he was just smiling. I said, how much do I owe you? I was oblivious. He said, $12.50, four axles. And I went, what? Because I knew I was coming back. That was going to be $25. I didn't know what was going to be more expensive, the tax or the gas. And I want you to know, while he was smiling, I wasn't. And there was no way I was going to lunch with him. I'm just telling you, that's who I am. But Jesus goes to lunch with Levi. Okay? Now, in Mark, he's called Levi. We learn from the others' gospels, because it's recorded in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, that this is Matthew. His name changes. Now, we don't know why his name changes, if he changed his name or if Jesus changes his name. I believe it is Jesus, because Jesus is good at changing names. Okay, Saul, okay, he turns to Peter. Saul, he turns to Paul. And Simon, he says, you're Peter, you're a pebble. Well, here, Matthew, guess what Matthew means? Gift of God. Now, he received a gift of God, grace. He saw that he was a sinner and in the need of a Savior. That was God working in his life. And now he becomes a gift of God for others. And if there's one thing you take from this, I want you to take this. Like Matthew, you too have received a gift of God, and you are a gift of God to others. Notice what happens at the tax booth. And Jesus said to him, follow me. Jesus knew his heart, a heart that was already convicted and touched by the Holy Spirit. Why? Because in John 2:24, we learn this. Nobody needs to reveal the heart of man to Jesus, for he knows the heart of every man, because he's all-knowing. He's God Almighty. Jesus saw his heart. Jesus knows your heart this morning. And he rose and followed him. Now, Luke says he rose and left everything. I want you to know, this was a very lucrative business, being a tax collector. That's how he made his living. And tax collectors were very wealthy. And that's why people hated them, because they took off the top. He worked for the Romans, and he was a Jew. Oh, he was worse than anything. And he left it all to follow Jesus. Why? Because he saw something more valuable, something more important, something wiser than following the Romans. Notice 15. And as he reclined at a table in his house, this is now Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners were reclining with Jesus. How did they get there? Matthew says, I have friends. Who would his friends be? Tax collectors, sinners. And he invited them to his house. Why? So that they could meet Jesus. Tax collectors and sinners were reclining with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. But notice this, the religious culture of the day, those leaders and the scribes of the Pharisees, when they saw that he was eating with sinners, a friend of sinners and tax collectors, said to his disciples, why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? He is being defiled. He is a sinner like them. He's not holy enough, not righteous enough. What decent rabbi would have harlots and prostitutes and tax collectors and sinners follow him? He is the worst of sorts. And when Jesus heard it, he said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. From this little story, what can we glean? What can we take home? Well, first and foremost, know this, Jesus is a friend of sinners, of whom I am the worst. And if you know that you are a sinner this morning, that is the Holy Spirit already working in your life. Because the first thing the Holy Spirit does is through the Word of God convicts us of our sin and the need of a Savior, or the need of grace. Because forgiveness and salvation, you can't earn, you can't buy it. It doesn't come because of you and your karma. It is a gift of God. And know this, if you've received that gift of God, grace, you can be a gift of God to others, because we all have friends that are sinners. We all have people that we know, maybe because of our work or because of our play or where we live, like a neighbor, a relative, a friend. And guess what? We can share the grace of God. It is unending. But know this, not everybody will receive it. There are those who will always say, he's not good enough. And there'll be those who will say, he's too stuck up, too separatist. Why? Because they're operating on karma. And karma will always lead you to this. I deserve more. That's karma. You know what grace is? It leads you to this. I deserve nothing. What guides and leads you in your life? Just like the vaccine for COVID, there are those who say, I don't need it. It's evil. I don't want it. And there are those who say, a vaccine? What a blessing from God. I need it because I could get COVID. I could end up on a respirator. No different with grace today in the 21st century. I'll give you an example from the first century. Judas. You see, we cannot draw God to us. But by the grace of God, God draws us to himself through word and sacrament ministry, through the work of the Holy Spirit. He draws us to himself and showers grace upon us. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. But from that point on, we can choose to stay within the grace or walk away from it. That's what Judas did. Let me share it with a story. There once was a man who followed Jesus, knew the grace of Jesus, knew that he was a sinner. But karma always plays a role in people's psyche. And as he walked with Jesus, he kicked Aladdin's lamp. And when he looked down, he picked up that Aladdin's lamp, and it said, "The gifts of the world." And he was very interested. He rubbed that lamp, and out came a genie, as they say. And the genie said, "If you follow me, I will give you infinite wisdom or infinite wealth or infinite beauty." And he thought about that. Wow. And he looked at Jesus, and Jesus said, "I offer grace." He looked at that Latin. He says, "Infinite wisdom." He said, "You know, I'm a professor." And he goes, "Yeah, infinite wisdom." He said, "You could be the greatest professor on earth with the most wisdom." And he said, "I choose infinite wisdom." Poof. That Latin was gone. And when he turned around, he could no longer see Jesus. So he went forward with his infinite wisdom. He went into the classroom where all his students were. And he shared with them the story how he now has infinite wisdom and how he deserves it. And all his students said, "Listen, share with us something brilliant from your wisdom." And he thought about it. And then he said something profound and very wise according to the world. He said, "You know, I should have chose wealth." Now you can change that story up to somebody who chose beauty. And when the beauty fades, say, "I should have chosen wisdom." Or somebody who chooses wealth, and he realizes wealth does not fulfill and makes him really ugly. "Oh, I should have chose beauty." And all along, those things will not fulfill because karma says, "I deserve more." Where grace says, "You don't deserve anything." But at the end of life, everyone will come to this conclusion because everyone will kneel, the Bible tells us. And they'll come to this conclusion if they choose something other than Jesus. "I should have chosen grace." Because grace fulfills. Grace, the heart of the gospel is this: drink from this well and you'll never be thirsty again. It's all fulfilled. Eat and you'll never be hungry again. You see, the gifts of the world will make you always more hungry, more thirsty. That's what karma does. "I need more." Grace is, "I need nothing. I deserve nothing. But I have everything in Jesus." Let me tell you about grace, the grace of Jesus, that one that makes all the difference. Through grace, he looks at you and he says, "You are the most beautiful thing in my eyes." That's grace. Through the grace of Jesus Christ, he looks at you and he says, "You are the most treasured possession I have. You're worth everything, my life." And through the grace of Jesus Christ, he looks at you and he says, "You have the truth that'll set you free." Wow. You'll never thirst again. You'll never hunger again. Grace is all we need. And we see that grace because Jesus is a friend of sinners, of whom I am the worst. Amen.